fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to continue today to talk about the theme for this week, which is really the spiritual combat, that the Christian life, as in the words of Pope Francis, is a militant endeavor. We've been exhorted by the apostles, by Jesus himself, to live a life of being alert, being sober, being clear-headed, to arm ourselves every day for battle, for a spiritual battle, because something enormous is being contested every day in my life. This is the, in your life and mine, this is the drama that's unfolding in the world. This is why the world exists. Remember, I said on Monday, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program Monday and Tuesday, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there on our website. This program, Fire in the Earth, as well as Sister Ann Shields' program, Food for the Journey, and our television programs, Choices We Face, Crossing the Goal, they're all accessible right there as well. I encourage you to go and to listen to the programs because I think this is very relevant. I was inspired to want to do this theme this week and maybe even into next week in some ways because of the reading from this past Sunday. The wisdom literature teaches us by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. So I began to think about death and where death comes from, and the fact that Scripture is revealing to us that its source really comes from the will of a spiritual angel, a creature made by God of great power that turned against God because he envied God's rule and God's power and God's reign and refused to serve, refused to honor God, to adore God, to worship God. And that's where it all began. That's where the rebellion began. And the angels fell and the angels seduced Adam and Eve in the garden. So thinking about all that, I thought, you know, we're living at a time when many, many Christians are falling asleep. Many baptized people who are meant to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And that light means that the light has gone on inside us and we can see. We can see what's going on in the world. We begin to see because we have the eyes of the Lord. As Jesus said, he came to bear witness to the truth about God, that God is the source of all good, the creator of all things, and he's our creator. The truth about man, that we're made in the image and likeness of God, and that our fundamental destiny, and we're destined for glory, and that the road to glory, to human freedom, to human flourishing, to human fulfillment, is found in obedience and surrender to God, is to acknowledge ourselves as creatures, and that we're not the masters of our own destiny, that we're not the creators of truth and goodness, and that we're not here by some accident, and we have this little window of time that we can all paint our own portrait and design our own world and design our own truth and all the nonsense that's out there in the culture. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth that our minds have been darkened by sin, that we're fallen, that we're in a condition of separation from God, that we're in alienation from God. And the big issues in our life, the real thing we should be concerned about is not have we, you know, gotten that bonus that we wanted? Did we get that extra? Did we get that vacation home? Do I have all the fun in my life that I want? Or am I achieving everything I have set out myself to achieve? These things that we think are so important, did my team win the Super Bowl, whatever it is, all of that is completely trivial. It's trivial in light of what's really going on. You are an eternal creature destined to go to heaven and live in glory and shine like the sun, to participate in the glory and majesty and victory of Jesus Christ the King, or to become an eternal enemy of God, separated from him. Just thinking the wonderful passage from C.S. Lewis I touched on not too long ago from a great essay that I encourage you to read called The Weight of Glory. I think it's the best essay of the many that he wrote, the best of them all. And he says here in the middle of the essay, he's talking about glory. And the glory we're destined for is being recognized by God. And God saying to us, well done, good and faithful servant. This is very important to the whole theme this week because the Christian life is a spiritual combat, as we said, a militant endeavor, and it requires vigilance each day. It requires that we put on the armor of God, that we that we set our minds on seeking first the kingdom of God, our mind and our heart, and to live for Him and to take ground in the kingdom of God in our own life and to help other people do it on a daily basis. This is the most important thing. Many of the baptized never even think about this these days. We're caught up in the world. We want to be like the world. We want to receive all the glitz and glory that's being served up by the enemy in the world. But here's Lewis. He says this: perhaps it seems rather crude to describe glory as the fact of being noticed by God. But this is almost the language of the New Testament. St. Paul promises to those who love God, not as we should expect, that they will know Him, but that they will be known by Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. It is a strange promise. Does not God know all things at all times? But it is dreadfully re-echoed in another passage of the New Testament. There we're warned that it may happen to any one of us to appear at last before the face of God and hear only the appalling words, "I never knew you. Depart from me." In some sense, as dark to the intellect as it is unendurable to the feelings, we can be both banished from the presence of Him who is present everywhere and erased from the knowledge of Him who knows all. We can be left utterly and absolutely outside, repelled, exiled, estranged, and finally and unspeakably ignored. On the other hand, we can be called in, welcomed, received, and acknowledged. We walk every day on the razor edge between these two incredible possibilities. This is what the drama in the world is all about. The things that we think are so big or so significant, they're small potatoes. Friends, even wars, as dreadful as they are, and as horrific as they are, they're only temporary. What's really disastrous is if a human being lives his or her life on this earth apart from God, never comes to understand, maybe never willing to bend their knee to God and to say, "You are my God. Forgive me for ignoring you, for rebelling against you, for saying no to your plan, for rejecting the design that you've made for my life. Forgive me of all my sin. I want to follow you. I love you." And to, as Scripture says, in the end, friends, every knee will bend and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. What God the Father, the Creator, really wants every human being to come to see and receive is the precious sacrifice of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save it. Your situation and mine is so serious, and the battle is so total and complete, and its outcome is so dramatic. The Son of God came and took on human flesh to fight for us. Jesus lived a militant life on this earth. He was a fighter. He fought the enemy. It cost Him everything. He went to the cross. He was making war on the devil. He was breaking His power over us. He gave everything so that you and I, so we could have a chance to live with Him in freedom and in glory forever. You see in the life of the Lord Himself how the enemy tempted Him right at the beginning of His ministry. After he was baptized in the Jordan, what happened? He went into the desert and he fasted for 40 days. And in that place of Jesus was dialing in. He was fasting. He was praying. He was preparing himself for spiritual battle. And even in that moment of weakness, when he's hungry, the devil came to him and tempted him three different ways. But there's one in particular I just want to talk about this morning. He said, again, the devil, this is chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, all these I give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only should you serve. We see both the truth that Jesus came to reveal. Jesus said he came into this world to give testimony to the truth, to bear witness to the truth. And there's the heart of what he was bearing witness to, that only God should be worshipped and only God should be ultimately served. And we see the nature of the devil. What is the devil after? Worship. Worship me as God. Worship me as the ruler of all. And so what the devil tries to do with each one of us, friends, is to seduce us, to serve up to us things that look so good, so tasty, that are going to make us look powerful, going to make us look attractive or sexy or rich or wealthy or influential or whatever it is. And we say yes to it. What he's after, he's not our friend. He pretends he's our friend. He makes sin look good, harmless. In fact, he convinces us we can't be happy without it. The very thing that kills us, that enslaves us, he seduces us into believing because we're so weak and because we're so attracted to sin, we're so attracted to what's forbidden. He leads us to believe that thing which is going to kill us eternally is good for us because it gives us momentary pleasure here in the world. It's crazy. And that's why St. Peter tells us so clearly, what you can just see the mind of an apostle, and this is where we need to get. This is where we need to be. He said in 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 through 10, he said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Cast all your anxieties upon him, for he cares about you. Be sober. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around seeking someone to devour. Like a lion, he prowls around, he said, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Be firm in your faith. And remember, the same experience of suffering is required of your brotherhood throughout the world. And remember that after you have suffered, the Lord is calling you to eternal glory. And he himself will restore, establish, and strengthen you in the glory and the life you've been made for. This is the call from St. Peter to spiritual combat. Be watchful. Be sober. Be clear-headed. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Friends, that's freedom. That's safety. That's the road to fulfillment. That's the road to glory. Let's walk that road together. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.